God's Word of James chapter 4, if you will. James chapter 4. I recommend tonight to help us. If you will allow God to help you tonight, He will help you. He wants to help you. So let's just allow God to help us. I went to the Low Country Fellowship looking to try to help others, and I got help myself. A brother by the name of Scott Pauley preached a tremendous message. And it was a message that spoke near dear to my heart. And my friend, we're on the winning side. I believe that. We have God on our side. The Bible says if God be for us, who can be against us? And my friend, there's a lot of people against us, but God's for us. And God, my friend, can overcome our enemies. The Bible says, I believe somewhere is in Exodus chapter 14:14, ye shall hold your peace. The Bible says he shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Let's look here, if you would, in James chapter 4. James chapter 4, let's begin reading of verse 1. The Bible says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill, and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Notice the last part here, verse 4. The Bible has for us here the enemy of God. The enemy of God. I've been called a lot of things. I've been called a lot of things before I got saved. I've been called a lot of names after I got saved. But it'd be a terrible name to be called the enemy of God. And we know the enemy of God is the devil, his demons. We know the enemy of God is all those who oppose themselves against the Lord. But here James is talking to us tonight. He says there are some of us that are sitting in God's house tonight that are the enemies of God. And I hope that's not your characteristics. I hope that's not a name that can be applied to yourself tonight, that you're the enemy of God. My friend, I hate to be the enemy of God. I hate to be the one that hates God, and the one that gives us breath, the one that gives us life, the one that provides salvation, the one, the Bible says, every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of light, the one that meets every need of our lives every day that we exist. My friend, I hate to have the name that we're His enemy. But James said here, the enemy of God. Let's pray together. Father, I pray you help our hearts tonight, God, to see what we have here. God, you have something for us tonight, and I pray, God, you reveal these truths to our hearts. And God, I have no desire to be thine enemy. God, I want to be your friend. And God, I want you to know that I'm your friend. And God, I want you to be my friend. And God, I know you're my Savior. I place my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I've been born again. I've been redeemed. I've been washed in the precious blood of Jesus. I become part of God's family by a new birth. And I pray, God, tonight that I never, never have intentions in my heart to be God's enemy. Father, I pray, God, for all of us tonight that you'll help us to examine ourselves and judge our own selves, that we shall not be judged. Father, help us to examine ourselves and forsake those things that's not of God. But God, may we hold close and run to those things that are from the Lord. Help us tonight in Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Amen. There's many, many people in the Bible that is a friend of God. I believe Abraham. The Bible says Abraham was called the friend of God. No doubt, people said Abraham is God's friend, but they also said God is Abraham's friend. And I want God to be my friend. I want to be a friend of God. We think about Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There's a wicked and perverse nation, and all the people in this world was against God at that time, except Noah and his family. His three sons, their three wives. Noah and his wife, my friend. The Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And their families got into the ark and was saved from the wrath of God. I believe Enoch was a man that walked with God. And the Bible says he was taken. God took him to be with him, my friend. I believe those two witnesses in Revelation, I believe one of them is going to be Enoch, another one might be Abraham, might be Moses, Enoch and Moses. But here the Bible says there are so many people that was called the friend of God. The Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. The Bible says that Lot was a righteous man. And it has so many things to say about so many people. But here, James said that there's some that's the enemy of God. I wonder, looking at this church tonight, who is the enemy of God? We wouldn't raise our hand and say, "Preacher, I'm God's enemy tonight." But there's some characteristics in our lives that we have to check up to see if we're God's enemy. God's enemy is one who tears down God's work. Look here, if you would, in verse 1, the Bible says, "From whence comes wars and fightings among you?" Here, James said, "Hey, there's fighting amongst God's people." He said, "It shouldn't be that way, my friend. Hey, we should be a loving church, and we're a loving church. It's amazing how when visitors come in, we're so loving to visitors." I get that all the time, and I'm asking visitors when they come in, and many times they make their first impression before I even preach God's Word. They make their first impression on how you receive them, and how the choir sings, and how the choir looks, and how the members act, and if you shake their hands and love them. I ask our visitors that way as they visit. I say, "What's your first impression of our church?" And a majority of them say it's a loving church. I believe it's a caring church. I believe it's a church that loves God and preaches God's Word. But here James said there's fightings among you. My friend, who is the enemy of God? The one who tries to tear down God's Word. And my friend, if we ever fight amongst ourselves, we're tearing down what God has built. The Bible says, Jesus said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." You realize this is God's church? It's not my church. It is my church. It is your church, but it's not my work. It's God's work. It's God's church. And God allowed us to be a part of His church. God's allowed us to be a member here of Open Door Independent Baptist Church. And here God's building a work, my friend. And any time we fight amongst ourselves, we're tearing down what God's building up. He said, if you tear down God's work, you're an enemy of God. That's why we have to be careful of who we talk about and who we don't associate ourselves with and who we're trying to fight against. Here, the Bible says there's fightings amongst yourselves. There's wars and fightings amongst yourselves. Notice what it says here in verse 1. It says, "There cometh not hints even of your lust that wars in your members." He's saying you're fighting among yourselves. There's even wars amongst your members. Tonight there's fightings and wars and Open Door. And I never want to be a part of a church. And beloved, I won't never be a part of a church that has a split. And we've heard stories of splits in church where this side won't associate with this side. And this side won't shake their hands. And this side won't go to their houses. And this side won't pray for them. It shouldn't be that way in a church. We're all part of each other's families. If you're a member here, we're part of one family. You see, Esteban. Esteban's my brother in Christ, and I should be praying for him and loving him. And no doubt, he loves the pastor and prays for the pastor. Here, my friend, who is the enemy of God? You wouldn't raise your hand and say, "Pastor, I'm the enemy of God." You wouldn't raise your hand now and say, "Pastor, I'm tearing down God's work." But if we ever get the feelings inside where we fight against each other, my friend, that's not right. I know we have disputes and we have rough times with each other. Sometimes you get on somebody else's nerves and they get on your nerves. But I get on my wife's nerves all the time. She told me here recently, and she said, "You're getting on my last nerve." I said, "Well, you got one more than I got. You've already been on my last nerve." We fight against each other sometimes. But my friend, we still love each other. We still care for each other. And we still help each other out. No doubt, as people, we're going to get on each other's nerves. We're going to rub each other the wrong way. And somebody's going to walk in with a chip on their shoulder. And somebody's going to have the audacity to knock it off. But any time we fight against each other, we're tearing down God's work. My friend, if you ever grew up in a family that has siblings, brothers and sisters always fought. These two boys, Justin and Brandon, fight about every day. Me and my brother, we fought every day. Me and my sister, we picked and bickered and fought every day. But I dare anybody else to mess with my brother. I dare anybody else to mess with my sister. I dare anybody else to mess with my family. It's all right for me to pick on them and mess with them and wrestle with them and fight with them. But hey, nobody in school wouldn't pick on my brother. Because they picked on him, they was picking on me. And they have two of the Bass boys. And we never played fair. We never was equal. My friend, someone would get you on high. And someone would get you on the bottom. And someone would get you in front. And someone would get you behind. My friend, we bicker and fight with each other. And sometimes that's needful. Sometimes we have to just get it off of our chest. But we've got to realize tonight that we're part of God's family. We're God's family. We got people in our church, hasn't been here for a while. I seen them this past Friday, invite them to the Mother's Day banquet, invite them to church on Sunday. And they looked at me and said, if somebody wasn't going to be there, I would be there. They said, if this particular person wasn't going to be in church on Sunday, then I would be in church on Sunday. I wanted to say, are you saved? Of course they would say yes. But what are you going to do when you go to heaven, if you're saved and you go to heaven, if God puts you beside this person, you don't want him to sit beside in church? Are you going to have a desire to leave heaven? Are you going to look at God and say, God, I don't like this person. I hate this person. And I want you to move my mansion to the other side of eternity, to the other side of heaven, because I don't want to see their faces. My friend, the Bible says there's fighting amongst God's people. And you're tearing down God's work. I'm preaching this way because I want revival. I'm preaching this way because I want our church to have revival. And God's not going to speak to your heart if you have bitterness against somebody else. God's not going to deal with you, my friend, as a loving father. He will chastise you. He will take you to the woodshed. He will correct you. But, my friend, he cannot give you revival. He cannot bless you the way God wants to bless you if you have aught against your brother. The Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens. The Bible says we ought to pray one for another. The Bible says we ought to have compassion for one for another. You know what the word compassion means? It means putting their heart in your heart. It means putting their body in your body. It means rejoicing with them who rejoice and hurt with them who hurts and have compassion for them who, my friend, might not be as spiritually strong as you are. You realize there's weaker brothers and sisters in Christ? There's somebody that's not as spiritually strong as you in the Lord. And that's the ones you should wrap your arms around and lead them and guide them, help them. My friend, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we should not be trying to tear down God's work. Here James said the enemy of God is those who tear down God's work. Who else is the enemy of God? Look here if you would. In verse 2, the Bible says, ye lust and have not, and ye kill, and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Listen to what it says in verse 3. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lust. That word amiss means to pray for something that's wrong, to pray for something that's out of order. You ever been to a soda pop machine that's outside and it says ice cold Pepsi on it? You take out your 75 cents or you take out your $1.25 and you put it in the machine and you push the button for your drink and nothing takes place. It just takes your money. It doesn't give you a cold, refreshing soda. Or you get so upset and you start kicking the machine and shaking the machine and you punch that coin return and you want your money back, but it don't give you money, it don't give you soda to you. It's out of order. It's not working. It's not right. Something's wrong with it. And the Bible says here, those who are the enemies of God is those who fight amongst themselves and for those who pray for something that they may consume it upon their own lust. One who desires to fill his own lust. Look here in verse 3, the Bible says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss. My friend, when we go to God in prayer, we pray for something that we know is not right with God. That's not right. When we pray for something to happen, that's not right with God. The Bible also says this. Listen to verse 3. The Bible says that because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust. Me as a pastor, as I pray, we've been praying for a school now for years. I've been praying for a school for 2 or 3 years here at Open Door that we can start a good Christian-based school and help our young people out. Is it God's will? It's not God's will right now. I know it's not God's will right now. But I'm praying that God will make it come to pass pretty soon. I love for our children and maybe Hunter and Cody and Reagan and Liz and Faith and all the children of church to come together and have school, my friend, and grow up in school together and not have to worry about cursing and not have to worry about lewdness and not have to worry about teachers who's ungodly and professing atheists, my friend, and not having to worry about the sin of school, my friend. They can come to a good Christian school and get a good education and serve the Lord and live for God. There's no sense praying for it right now because I know it's not God's will right now. Many times we pray for something that's not in God's will and we know it's not in God's will. My friend, those who desire something upon their own lust is tearing down God's work. He's the enemy of God. It's the enemy of God. Talk to a good brother in church. You know what he said to me? I'll just tell you what he said to me. It might blow some of your minds. He said, Pastor, these past 2 years, I have liked nothing you've done to this church. He's praying that God will stop all of it. Yeah. You say, who is it, preacher? I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you who it is. I don't want to talk about the person. But I'm telling you, my friend, you're not going to stop God's work. I'm telling you, you're going to pray, and you're praying that God will stop what God's wanting to accomplish here at Open Door, my friend. Hey, God might just move you out, and God might move you on down the road, and God might just paralyze you and put you in the rest home or put you in the hospital or put you in the grave, my friend. Hey, these people who desire something for their own lust to fulfill their own pride, and my friend, to get themselves lifted up in men's eyes, my friend, they're the enemies of God. Think about those preachers who's just fulfilling their own desires and trying to accomplish what they want to in the church. My friend, they're the enemies of God. We think about the Christians who come to church just for their own blessed benefits, who fill these pews every Sunday, my friend, just to be recognized and just to be fitting in to social standards. My friend, just to fulfill their own lusts, they're the enemies of God. We think about those who are saved by God's grace and they got the blessings of God upon them, but yet they don't use the resources God's given us, my friend, for God's glory. They're the enemies of God. You know, God's given us the Holy Spirit. God's given us the preserved, inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. There's nothing wrong with this King James Bible. There's nothing wrong, my friend, with the Holy Spirit of God. He's given all of it to use for Him. But how many of us use it? How many of us would use what God's given us? I'm not just talking about visitation. I tell you, beloved, we're lacking in visitation. Get you pumped up and you care for a little while, but then it's all over. I'm telling you, there's a world that's dying and going to hell. And I'm going to do my best to do something about it. Because when I stand before God, I'm going to give an account of what I've done with what God's given me. The people, that's the enemies of God. None of us would say, preacher, I'm the enemy of God. But are you using what God's given you for God? Are you using what God's given you, my friend, for His glory? Here, there's fightings amongst you, is what James said. And it shouldn't be that way. We're bickering and fighting with each other. We don't want to stand beside somebody else in the choir because we don't like them. We don't want to shake somebody's hand because we don't like them. We don't want to hug another lady's neck because we don't like her. We sure won't pick the phone up and tell somebody, I'm sorry, I've hated you for so long, and I want to apologize and tell you I'm sorry so I can get right with God. There's a good brother in our church, and there's nothing wrong with him. But when I first come to church here, he hated me. He hated my guts. And in fact, he come to me and said, Scott, I hate you. I said, why? He said, because you used to work at Burger King, and I went to Burger King. You used to pick on me when I come to Burger King. I said, I told him, I said, I never worked at Burger King. He said, you did, and you were that one that picked on me. You know, I lived with that for several months. Preacher Larry preached a message out to get it right. So I called the older fellow in the pastor's office. I went in the pastor's office, and Preacher Larry was in there. I looked at the man's in the eye. I said, I want to tell you, I've never worked at Burger King, but if I've done anything to hurt you, I want you to know something. I'm sorry. He started smiling. He said, that's okay. I love you. Hugged my neck and been best friends ever since. Sometimes that's all it takes. You might not have done nothing wrong. He might be the one in the wrong. She might be the one in the wrong. But just go to him and tell him, I'm sorry. Because God can't deal with your heart if you don't. God can't send a revival if you won't. You say, Preacher Scott, that's the hardest thing in the world to do, is to go to somebody and tell them that I'm sorry. It is. It is. I remember when Sister Judy Richardson was here. I've done something wrong, and I had to go to her and tell her, hey, I'm sorry. I thought I was in the right. I thought I was doing something right, but I done something that maybe she thought I was wrong, and I had to go to her. I knew I was right, but yet I had to say, Sister, I'm sorry. And she said, well, for what? I said, for this. She said, I didn't even think nothing about it. It's nothing to apologize for. I said, but I want God to speak to me. I want them birds to come back and sing to me. I want them trees to seem like they're clapping their hands again. And sometimes, my friend, we just have to eat crow and go to somebody. Say, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. Remember how many mistakes I made since I've been here? I remember Brother Steve gave me some malathion. And we sprayed for the termites over here in the wall.
It had a little bit left, and he said, you can use this for bugs. So I decided to put all of it in a container, mix it up with some water, and go to the fellowship hall because all the bugs in the fellowship hall, and spray the whole fellowship hall with malathion. I left all the windows down and all the door closed. Done that on Friday. Saturday morning, Brother Allen and his crew met over there for church. It about killed them. One lady almost passed out. People left out of the room throwing up and having headaches. I didn't mean that. I didn't mean to do something wrong. It just happened. So I said, Brother Al, I'm sorry. He said, don't worry about it. We all make mistakes. Beloved, we all make mistakes. James says the enemy of God is those who fight amongst themselves. James says the enemy of God is those who pray for something to fill their own lust, to fill their own desires. By the way, what do you pray for? You pray that you can get a blessing or to be a blessing. You pray that when you come to church that God blesses you, or you pray that you be a blessing to somebody else. Oh, I want God to bless me. I want God to speak to me. But, beloved, I want to be a blessing to the Lord. We learned last night, well, Monday night, about the preacher said there's two types of preachers. Those who uses God and those who allows God to use them. Many of us, beloved, use God. Use God for the air he breathes, for the food he provides, for the money he gives. But none of us, hardly any of us, wants for God to use us. I want for God to use us. I don't want to be the enemy of God. And notice the third thing here, the enemy of God is one who delights in this world. Notice what it says here in verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Notice what he said here. He said the enemy of God is those who are friends with the world. Notice the first part of this, if you will. The Bible says, you adulterers and adulteresses. We know what this is. It's someone who commits a sexual act, my friend, with somebody that's not their spouse. And here James is saying there's some Christian in the church who's committing whoredoms in their lives and they're cheating on God. And it shouldn't be that way. He said, notice who the adulterers and adulteresses are. Know ye not that the friendship of this world is enmity with God? He said, the friendship of the world is enmity with God. The word enmity, notice what it means. It means when you allow this world to take over. When you have friendship with the world. When you don't plan God in your week. Well, you can't come to church on Wednesday night because your child's got a baseball game or your child's got a dance recital or because your child's got something going on in their lives. Boy, Tiffany wants to play softball. She can play softball as long as she don't have to play a game on Sunday, as long as she don't have to play a game on Tuesdays, as long as she don't have to play a game on Wednesdays, as long as she don't have to play a game on Saturday nights. Hey, she can play all the sports she wants, but her sports life will not interfere with our church life. The Bible says whoever has friendship with the world is enmity with God. We allow the world to take over. I can't come to church because I'm too tired. But beloved, all of us get tired. I'm tired right now. If I could, I would lay down right now on my back and preach this message to you. I'm tired. I haven't done nothing all day. I've been sitting on the couch reading and studying for the night, but I'm tired. Everybody gets tired. Everybody gets pain. Everybody gets in hurting. Everybody gets discouraged. Everybody gets depressed. It's encouraging my heart tonight to see Brother Mac and Sister Ruth here tonight. They got every excuse in the world to be home, my friend, to be grieving, to be in tears, but yet they come to God's house tonight. Hey, God bless you for that. Here the Bible says the enemy of God is those who are friendship with the world. Friendship with the world. Allowing the world to take over. Allowing the world to rule and reign our lives. It shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. My friend, I believe you should love your church. I believe you should have all desire to be here. When I was getting ready to preach this message, and my wife, she'd done a thing on the computer about everybody at church, and one of the church members said, I might be in a revival meeting. I don't know if they was playing around or not. I hope not. I hope they were serious about being in God's house. My beloved, we need to be in God's house. No matter who you are, if you're a member here, you need to be in God's house. I know people get sick. People get hurting. But my friend, I do believe if you're too sick to come on church on Sunday, then you sure should stay out of work on Monday. If you're too sick to come to church house on Wednesday night, you shouldn't go to your workhouse on Thursday morning. If you're too tired to come to church on Sunday, hey, you just should quit everything you're doing on Saturday and get to bed at 6 o'clock on Saturday, and my friend, get enough of sleep and get enough of rest so you can wake up and come to God's house on Sunday morning, Sunday school at 10 a.m., and then Sunday morning preach at 11 o'clock, Sunday evening prayer meeting at 5:45, Sunday evening service at 6, my friend. Hey, we ought to get enough of rest on Saturday to be prepared for Sunday. The Bible says the enemy of God are those who is in the friendship of the world. I know people get sick, and people has to work. My stepdad David, he told me he has to work. And now his boss man wants him to go to work on Saturday nights and work all day Sunday and all day Monday and all day Tuesday and all day Wednesday and come home on Thursday morning and have Thursday and Friday off for his weekend. The boss man says, you got to do it, you got to do it until you find another job. But how do we plan our lives? Do we plan so much on Saturday that we get too tired for Sunday? Do we plan so much during the week that we have no time for revival? You know why we put this stuff in our flyers? You know why we put this stuff in the church bulletin? So everybody can make plans. Everybody can clear your calendar to be in church during the week of June the 13th because your church got a revival meeting. The Bible says the enemy of God. Are you fitting close to it? Notice what else it says here in verse 4. The Bible says, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. The friend of the world is the enemy of God. The enemy means when you allow yourself to replace God. When we allow ourselves to replace God. We should never allow ourselves to replace God. We should never be friends of the world. Look here, if you would, in 1 John. Turn with me to 1 John. 1 John, if you would, chapter 2. 1 John, chapter 2. Familiar passage of Scripture with us. I want to read this to you tonight. The enemy of God. The Bible says here, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of the Father, doeth the will of God, abideth forever. Notice what it says in verse 15. Love not the world. The Bible says the enemy of God is those who has friendship with the world and those who are friend of the world. And the Bible plainly says for us Christians, hey, love not the world. And hey, friend, it's all right to go fishing. I love fishing. But I'm not going to go fishing on Saturday nights. I am not going to go fishing on Sundays. I am not going, my friend, waste my time if I have to be when I need to be in God's house. Here the Bible says, love not the world. I'm not going to work so hard in my garden on Saturday that I come to church on Sunday and fall asleep and not come to Sunday school and not be involved or not be active. I'm not going to plan nothing on Tuesday that's going to take away from church visitation because there's lost souls that's dying and going to hell that needs to be saved. And we're not going to plan anything on Wednesday nights because we know that's God's night. That's Bible study night. That's the time to go to God's house and be around God's people. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that's in the world. It's all right to have boats and cars and motorcycles and saws and diamond rings and pots and pans and a beautiful house and a beautiful lawn. But none of it should take the place of God. None of it, my friends, should take the place of the Lord. Notice here, if you would, the Bible says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away. I want to give these two verses to you tonight, if you will, in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. You say, preacher, how do I not become an enemy of God? Preacher, how do I stay a friend of God? Turn here to Philippians chapter 2, if you will. Philippians chapter 2. Turn with me real quick, if you would, in the New Testament, Philippians chapter 2. We know what the enemy of God is. The enemy of God is one who loves the world. The enemy of God is those who has friendship and is a friend of the world. Notice what it says here in Philippians chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 5. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. You say, Preacher Scott, how do you become one of God's friends? You have the mind of Christ. You become obedient. You become a servant of God. Here the Bible says Jesus Christ, he humbled himself down and became a servant. He became obedient even unto the death of the cross. He was just willing to serve God. And that's what we need to do. We need to serve God. Are you enemy of God tonight? Do you go against God or are you for God? Do you wrestle against God tonight? Do you curse God tonight? Do you go against everything God wants you to go against? Or are you for God? Vacation Bible School. You know what our theme is this year? On God's team. We want everybody to be on God's team. Because you're on God's team, you're number one. You're number one on God's team. The Bible says, let this mind be in you. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Another familiar passage with us. In Romans chapter 12, look here, if you would, in verse 1. The Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. There's that word again, world. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I'm going to tell you, my friend, this world's not your friend. The devil wants to get you caught up in this world to get you away from God, and you become one of God's enemies. God's enemies. Are you a God enemy tonight? You wouldn't raise your hand and say, Preacher, I'm God's enemy. But check yourself out for a minute. Are you fighting against brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you praying for things just to fulfill your own lust? Are you a friend of the world? Does the world look at you and tell no difference of you and somebody else? When the world sees me, I want them to see a Christian. I want them to see somebody that don't want to cuss around. I want them to see someone they don't tell dirty jokes around. I want somebody to see me and say, hey, that's one of those people that's going to tell me about Jesus. Well, last year, during the Golden Leaf Festival, I believe it was passing out them gospel tracts, and a lady stopped my wife, and she said, y'all at it again, ain't you? My wife said, do what? And she said, y'all was out here last year passing out these gospel tracts, and I see y'all doing it again. Yeah, we're that type of people. Someone came to me a few days ago and said, I read your ad in the news journal, the Penny Savior. You know what it says in there? It says, Open Door Independent Baptist Church, Pastor Scott Bass wants to invite you to a very special service. And then it tells you the time, and it goes on down a little bit. We still preach the King James Bible. And he said, I appreciate that y'all still hold true to the fundamentals of the faith. We still preach what we believe is right. Are we a friend of the world tonight, or are we an enemy of God? Are we a friend of the world tonight? If we're a friend of the world, we're an enemy of God. I want to read you some stories about these martyrs that we have. A person that by the name of George Weishart. And these people that died for the Lord. And these people wasn't the enemies of God. And these people, my friend, was a friend of God. These people stood up for what they believed in. Notice this man, this George Weishart. I want to read just something to you. Notice what he says here. As they shackled his hands together and was leading him off to a stake to be burned at the stake. And all they said you had to do, George, is to renounce Christ, to say your faith is in the Catholic Church, to say your faith is in the Queen of England, or just renounce Christ and say you're not a Christian. Brother George said, I beseech you, Christian brothers and sisters, that you be not offended in the word of God, for the afflictions and torments which you see already prepared for me. For I exhort you that you love the word of God and suffer patiently and with all comfortable heart for the word's sake, which is your undoubtable salvation and everlasting comfort. He says here at the very last, it says, many faithful words said he in the meantime, taking no heed or care of their cruel torments. He is about to be tormented for Christ. He's going to be led to the post, to be tied to the post. They're going to light the wood up under the post and burn him up. Instead of screaming and crying, He was talking to his brothers and sisters in Christ. He said it's going to be worth it all. The Bible, the thing said here, and at last of all, the hangman, that was his torturer, sat down upon his knees and said, "Sir, I pray you forgive me, for I'm not guilty of your death." To whom he answered, "Come hither to me." When he came to him, he kissed his cheek and said, "Lo, here's a token that I forgive thee. My heart, do thou office." You know what he says to the torturer that was going to come and tie him to the post and light the sticks on fire? The torturer come up to Brother George and said, "Hey, don't hold this against me. I'm just doing my job. I'm just doing what the Queen has paid me to do." And Brother George Whitehart, he looked at him and said, "Come here." And as his torturer come to him, he kissed him on his cheek and said, "I forgive you." Can you imagine that? Somebody that's about to torture you, you can kiss him on the cheek and say, "I forgive you." You think about Judas Iscariot as he come to Christ and he kissed Jesus Christ on the cheek and said, "This is him. Come and hold him quickly so he won't escape." And Jesus looked at Judas and said, "Friend." He called him friend. My friend, Jesus was the enemy of God. He was not the enemy of God. He was not the enemy of God because he looked at his enemy and called him friend. He wasn't trying to tear down what God was building up. Notice this, if you would. I want to read another one to you. Won't you see these men of God as they suffered for Christ? And then look at our lives. Let me show you this one here. George Tankerfield. Anybody know who George Tankerfield is? He was a man that preached the gospel in the streets of England. He is a man that preached the gospel about salvation. And the Queen of England came to Tankerfield and said, "Tankerfield, if you don't quit preaching, then we're going to kill you and we're going to burn you at the stake." Well, Tankerfield kept on preaching the gospel. They arrested Tankerfield and put him in jail. His wife and child come to visit him. And they come up with a plan. The Queen of England and her men come up with a plan. They said, "We'll allow Tankerfield to go home and spend the night with his child and with his wife. And no doubt he'll renounce Christ and not preach the gospel anymore." Tankerfield went home that night with his wife and child. And he was debating whether or not to continue to preach or to submit to the Queen. He had a discussion with his own self. Notice the discussion here. The Bible says the flesh said, "Oh, thou fool, without burning, needest not." The Spirit said, "Be not afraid, for this is nothing in respect of fire eternal." The flesh said, "Do not leave the companion of thy friends and acquaintances, which love thee, and will let thee lack nothing." The Spirit said, "The company of Jesus Christ and His glory present doeth exceed all fleshly friends." The flesh said, "Do not shorten thy time, for thou mayest live, if thou will, much longer." The Spirit said, "This life is nothing unto life in heaven, which lasteth forever." His flesh said, "Hey, don't burn at the stake." And the Spirit of God said, "Hey, preach the gospel. Be a friend of God." The flesh said, "Be an enemy of God." The Spirit said, "Be a friend of God." You know what Tankerfield done that night? After he got through eating supper with his family, the Book of Martyrs said he took his shoes off and took his stocking off of his leg and sat by the fire that was in his house. He told his son, he said, "Son, build the fire up high and build the fire hot." So his son listened to his daddy and built a fire up high and built it hot. Tankerfield took his own leg and stuck it in the fire and burned his foot off. His wife screaming, saying, "Stop, stop, stop." Tankerfield said, "Tomorrow I'm going to hobble to the stake and give my life for Jesus." My friend, are we an enemy of God? Do we go against God, or can we be like Tankerfield and just be willing to give ourselves to the Lord? Willing to give ourselves to the Lord. Think about Lady Jane Grey, the youngest queen of England, for a few days. She willingly go into the chopping block and lay her head on the chopping block, my friend, then to renounce Christ and say that she's not a Christian. It's a serious thing, ain't it? Serious thing when I ask you to be faithful. It's a serious thing when I ask you to be a witness for Christ. And we say, preacher, we can't do it. We got so much else going on, we can't be a witness. We can't be faithful. Our friend, look at ourselves. Are we an enemy of God? Or tonight are we doing faithful for a few that's going to serve God to the end, no matter what it costs? James said, those who are a friend of the world is the enemy of God. I don't want to be an enemy, do you? I want to be a friend of God. Let's pray. Father, pray God you'll help our hearts tonight. There's so much going on. So much I believe you want to accomplish here in this church. And God, I know it's not up to one or two or three people. But God, there's one or two or three people that tonight that needs to get things right. And somehow, some way, Father, tonight I pray they start by checking their own selves. Seeing if we're fighting amongst each other. If we're trying to tear down what God's building up. Lord God, tonight might we check our own selves and see if we're praying for stuff just to fill our own lust, to fill our own desires. And God tonight help us to see if we're a friend of the world. God, if we're a friend of the world, then the Bible says we're an enemy of God. Lord, help our hearts tonight. I pray you would. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. If you would, stand with me. The music begins. The altar's open. Invitation starting. I'm not going to ask or beg you to come to this altar, but you know if you need to come. You say, what does people think? It don't matter what people think. It matters what God thinks. You say people tonight might think, I hate somebody. Well, let them think whatever they want to think, but get things right with God. Make sure when you leave this church building tonight that you're as thoroughly right with God as you possibly can be. You say, Preacher Scott, how do I forgive somebody? How do I love somebody? First, you get that thing right with God. Ask God to help you love them. Ask God to help you forgive them. And then you go to the person and ask them to forgive you. You tell them that you love them and you want them to be their friend. Tonight you've been praying for something that's not in God's will. You've been praying for something just to have your own desires fulfilled. You might be praying for a new job and thinking about moving away. You're thinking about a new house that you know you cannot afford. You're thinking about a new career. You're thinking about something new in your life that's going to take you away from God's house, to take you away from God's people. Don't go down that route. Don't go down that road. Keep serving God. Keep being faithful to the Lord. Tonight, you've got so many things in our lives. We've got so many things in our lives that's taking us away from God, taking us away from God's service and God's work. Let's quit being a friend of the world. Let's quit being the enemy of God. Let's wholly give ourselves to the Lord. Think about Tankerfield as he burned his foot off so he wouldn't cave into the flesh. But think about this, William Fowler. William Fowler was accused of slapping a priest. They tied him to the stake and cut his hand off. And then set the wood on fire to burn him. Tankerfield, with one hand and one nub, lifted up to heaven. And said, Lord God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Who are you friends with tonight? Can we say we're God's friend? Can we say that God's our friend? Or tonight, do we have to admit that something in our lives has caused us to be an enemy of God? We're so rooted and so deeply rooted in this world that we can't serve God. We have so much of the world's delight in our lives that we can't be a blessing to God and be a blessing to others. We've got something in our hearts tonight that's not right with God. And we need to get things settled. She plays one more verse.
hate to be the enemy of God. I hate to leave this church building tonight and know that things is not right between me and my Savior. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for being so good and so faithful to us. And I pray for these who are at the altar tonight. God, that you'll help them in their Christian lives to grow. God, you help all of us, myself included, to grow and blossom and mature in our Christian lives. And God, none of us tonight has a desire to be the enemy of God. We want to have the mind of Christ and be more like Jesus. We want to be a good servant. We want to be obedient. Lord, we don't want to be the friend of the world. We don't want to have friendship with the world. But God, there's so many things that engulf our lives, that comes into our lives, that takes us away from what God truly wants us to be. Help us, Lord, to forsake those things, to get away from them, and to keep our eyes on the Savior. Lord, bless these who's here tonight. Meet every need that they have. Give us the confidence and courage to keep our eyes on Christ, to help us, God, admit when we're wrong and say, I'm sorry. Help us go to our enemies and be their friend. God, help us to forsake the world and follow Christ. Lord, we love you and we need you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.